The first reading is from Ruth chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died. So the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people. Have I yet sons? But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait for them till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is on page 4 of your bulletin, Psalm 111. We'll read it responsively. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly.
Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them.
Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever.
He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate.
He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever.
He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations.
The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness.
He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise.
The second lesson is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if I have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? Alleluia. You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated, and I invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message. Come here, you can sit right here, buddy. Bring your stuff. I've got a book I'm going to share with you tonight. Come here, sit right down here so you can see it good, okay? All right. Last week, remember, we celebrated friendship, and I've got my friendship bracelet on, right? Tonight, I want us to think about one of the things that makes for a good friend, and that word is faithfulness. Can you say faithfulness?
Faithfulness?
Yeah, faithfulness is a big word, and it's another word that means trustworthy or dependable or you can count on me, right? If you can count on somebody, you know that they're going to always be there for you, right? They're not going to leave you or forsake you. In our first reading for tonight, we hear about Ruth and Naomi and how Naomi can count on Ruth. And later in the story, Ruth can count on Boaz, and Boaz and Ruth and Naomi can all count on God. Okay? All right, so here's the story I'm going to read to you about faithfulness and about how you can trust someone that you can count on them, okay? It's called The Runaway Bunny. Have you ever heard of this story? The Runaway Bunny, this is from 1942. You believe that? How many people out there know this book? 1942, right? It's been around for a long time, and it's about a little bunny who wants to run away from its mother. And this book actually was given, it says, Dear Mom, I love you, Jenna. Your mom gave this book to your grandma. Yeah, a long time ago. And so I'm going to read this story to you, and I want you to think about how I can count on you, okay? What does this story say about I can count on you? Once there was a little bunny who wanted to run away. So he said to his mother, I'm running away. If you run away, said his mother, I will run after you, for you are my little bunny. If you run after me, said the little bunny, I will become a fish in a trout stream, and I will swim away from you. If you become a fish in a trout stream, said his mother, I will become a fisherman, and I will fish for you. If you become a fisherman, said the little bunny, I will become a rock on the mountain high above you. If you become a rock on the mountain high above me, said his mother, I will become a mountain climber, and I will climb to where you are. You think that little bunny is going to be able to get away? If you become a mountain climber, said the little bunny, I will be a crocus in a hidden garden. If you become a crocus in a hidden garden, said his mother, I will be a gardener, and I will find you. If you are a gardener and find me, said the little bunny, I will be a bird and fly away from you. If you become a bird and fly away from me, said his mother, I will be a tree that you will come home to. If you become a tree, said the little bunny, I will become a little sailboat, and I will sail away from you. If you become a sailboat and sail away from me, said his mother, I will become the wind and blow you where I want you to go. If you become the wind and blow me, said the little bunny, I will join a circus and fly away on a flying trapeze. If you go flying on a flying trapeze, said his mother, I will be a tightrope walker, and I will walk across the air to you. If you become a tightrope walker and walk across the air, said the bunny, I will become a little boy and run into a house. If you become a little boy and run into a house, said the mother bunny, I will become your mother and catch you in my arms and hug you. Shucks, said the bunny, I might just as well stay where I am and be your little bunny. And so he did. Have a carrot, said the mother bunny. Faithfulness, trustworthiness, dependability, you can count on me. There may be times that we can't always count on people here on earth. But Jesus says you can always count on me. And we might try to run away like this little bunny, but the mother is not going to let the little bunny get away. And God is not going to let you get away from him either. He's going to keep going after you because he doesn't quit. He doesn't give up. You can count on Jesus. That's what your message is for tonight. No matter what happens, you can always count on Jesus, and God wants to count on us too. Let's pray, okay? Let's say a prayer together. Dear Jesus, you keep running after me. I can always count on you. I want you to count on me too. Amen. Thanks for coming up. St. Paul, writing a final letter to his beloved son in the faith, Timothy, says these important words. Remember. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Couched in our second reading for tonight, we might lose that, but what St. Paul is asking Timothy to do is to remember. At the beginning of the letter, Paul will say, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandma Lois and then in your mother Eunice, and now I am confident, assured, that it resides in you. Kindle the gift through the laying on of hands. Remember. Don't forget. Remember Jesus Christ. risen from the dead. Out of all the things that we might forget in life, the one thing that we must remember, Paul says, when he's in prison, when his days are numbered, when the future on earth looks rather bleak, when he's chained up and he remembers, but the word of God isn't chained, and it's the gospel for which I'm suffering, he says to Timothy, you know, Timothy, you can count on me and I can count on you. Even when everybody else seems to be walking away from Paul, he says, who can we trust? Who can we depend on? Who can we count on? Timothy, I can count on you, and you can count on me. And most importantly, we can count on Jesus. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. And then Paul will say to his beloved Timothy, it's going to be cold pretty soon. I need you to come and see me. Don't forget to bring my jacket and my parchments, the scriptures. Paul can get by with a lot of things, but it's getting cold and he needs the company of his beloved son in the faith, Timothy, and he needs a jacket, but most importantly, he needs the word of God. My gospel, he says, for which I'm suffering. Well, it's his gospel because the gospel has claimed him, because the gospel has brought him to his knees on the Damascus Road, and he became no longer a persecutor of the church, but St. Paul became a proclaimer of the way and the truth and the life. St. Paul says to Timothy, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And then Paul also remembers a sacred hymn from worship. You probably caught it. If you see it in your Bible, you'll notice that it's kind of indented. Paul is quoting a hymn. And I noticed that the hymn can actually be sung to the tune of our hymn of the day. And I also noticed that if we were to caption it, if we were to put a title on this ancient hymn of the church, it would be, "The saying is trustworthy." The saying is dependable. The saying is sure. In other words, you might call it, you can count on me. How does the song go? If we shall die with him, then we will live with him. If we endure, we shall reign with him too. If we deny him, he too will deny us. If we are faithless, he faithful remains. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. God is dependable, you can count on him. Great is God's faithfulness for you and me. You see, Paul is speaking to Timothy about faithfulness. There are people in this life, in this world, that you can put your trust in, but they may not always be dependable. Not everything is going to be trustworthy, dependable, reliable. Some things will let you down, especially human people who are sinners. But, Timothy, don't forget. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. You can count on Jesus. Great is God's faithfulness to you. A number of years ago, a mother had a little boy, and she was taking him off to preschool for his very first day. That's a hard thing for the child and for the mother. Mom was taking her little boy off to the preschool. She got him situated in there, and then as she left, got to the edge of the room, was about to depart, she reached down and gave her little boy a hug and a kiss. And then she said, "Goodbye, my love. No one is leaving." Goodbye, my love. No one is leaving. Well, yeah, she walked out the door, but she was telling her son what? That mom is faithful. Like that runaway bunny. Mama's going to keep chasing after her little bunny. The mother was telling her son, I'm going to be coming back. I may be physically not here, but in spirit, I'm with you the whole time. And sure enough, at the end of the day, she did, as promised, return. And every day when she brought her son to that preschool, she would give him a hug and a kiss, and she would say to him, goodbye, my love. No one is leaving. Well, years passed. The boy grew up. He became a young man. And then he started taking care of his mother. And his mother developed some memory issues. She was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Now, he wanted to take care of his mother the best way he could, so he found a care facility for her. And every single day, he went to see his mother. And the nurses there noticed something, that when the son gave his mother a hug and a kiss, he would always say, goodbye, my love. No one is leaving. And his mother, her eyes would twinkle, and she remembered. Don't forget. Remember, Timothy. You can count on me and I can count on you. But most importantly, we can count on Jesus. Goodbye, my love. No one is leaving. In our first reading for tonight, a familiar story, the book of Ruth. We know that there was a famine in the house of bread, Bethlehem. No bread, no food there. And to survive, Elimelech and his wife, Naomi, they took their two boys and they traveled to Moab and they became refugees. And then we hear that Naomi's husband died. And then we hear that the two boys married Moabitess women. And 10 years later, the two sons die. So some time has passed and Naomi hears that in the house of bread, there is bread. The famine is over. So she's determined to go home and to be around family. So she says to her two daughters-in-laws, and you probably noticed in the story that even though the daughters-in-laws were married to Naomi's sons for 10 years at least, no children. So she says, you need to stay here, go back to your own people, go back to your own God, you'll find some new husband. And they both cling to Naomi and say, no, we're going to go home with you. But with some persuasion, Naomi is able to convince Orpah to go back. But not with Ruth. Ruth is persistent. She has what we call staying power. She clings to Naomi and she says, no. You can count on me, Naomi. Through thick and through thin, you can count on me. Your people will be my people. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your God will be my God. Not even death will be able to separate us. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. So she goes back with Naomi, and eventually, you know the rest of the story, not only can Naomi count on Ruth, but Ruth can count on Boaz, and Boaz can count on the promise of Messiah. And so can Ruth, and so can Naomi, King David, and eventually Messiah Jesus. You can count on me. In our gospel reading, when we hear these words from Paul, when he's in prison, chained up, but the word of God isn't bound, remember, it was about 52 AD when St. Paul met Timothy. And you may recall that Timothy's mother and grandmother were Christ followers. But Timothy's father and grandpa were not followers of Jesus. And so, in a spiritual sense, Paul says, I became a spiritual father to you, Timothy. In other words, someone to mentor him and raise him in the faith to help his mother and grandmother out. And in fact, we find out that 6 of Paul's letters in the New Testament are co-authored. We sometimes miss that, but they're co-authored by Timothy. And that Timothy was a companion of Paul on 2 of his 3 missionary journeys that we hear about in the book of Acts. So Paul, knowing that the time is short, assuming that he may not make it out of this prison alive, he's going to pass on the baton to Timothy. Timothy, I've always been able to count on you. And you know that you've always been able to count on me. So let's not forget the dependability and the trustworthiness of Almighty God. And that's when he sings the hymn. That's when he says, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. That's when Paul will say, well, understand that if you die with Christ, you also will be raised and you'll live with Christ. Understand that if you endure, that you will in fact reign with him. Understand that if you deny him, he'll also deny you. Those are the words of Jesus from the gospel. You know those words, where Jesus says, whoever is ashamed of me and my word in this sinful and adulterous generation, of that one will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. But did you notice that Paul, as he's singing this hymn of the church, he reminds Timothy that there is one thing that God cannot do. Did you catch that? I mean, we always kind of toy with that, don't we? Well, is there anything impossible for God? Is there anything that God can't do? And Paul names it in the epistle reading for tonight. God cannot contradict God's self. God cannot not be faithful. Did you catch that? Even when we are faithless, God must remain faithful because that's just who God is. That's the one thing God can't do, is to break faith. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself and he cannot disown himself. That's just who he is. Or in the ancient creed of God's people Israel, God is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. That just simply is who God is, and God cannot betray who God is. In other words, Timothy, you can count on Jesus through thick and through thin. That's why Paul will say in one of his epistles, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's why Paul will say later in this letter to Timothy, as for you, Timothy, always be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. As for me, the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved the appearing of Jesus. Timothy, bottom line, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. He's the first fruits of those who fall asleep. His resurrection guarantees your resurrection. Remember, don't forget Jesus Christ. You can count on him. He has been raised from the dead, just like he promised. Dependable, reliable, trustworthy. Jesus said, the Son of Man is going up to Jerusalem. He'll be crucified, and on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. Dependable, reliable, trustworthy. The saying is sure. Even when we are faithless, God remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. In our gospel reading, we hear that Jesus is on his way to the cross, Good Friday, and he's passing between that region of Galilee and Samaria. He comes into a village where he is met by 10 lepers, dreaded skin disease. They are in isolation because they're contagious. And what they have, they might spread. So they have to keep their distance. Did you notice in our gospel reading for tonight that it says, from a distance they cry out? I know what you're thinking. You know this New Testament stuff. The lepers were required to do what? Keep their distance and cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. In other words, I'm dangerous. Stay away from me. Don't have anything to do with me. So when it says in our gospel reading for tonight that they kept their distance and they cried out, we go, I know for a fact what they're going to say. No, we don't know for a fact, because what's the surprise? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. What? Really? Did you notice in our gospel reading that it says, and Jesus saw them. And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. You see, the governing principle is, can these lepers count on Jesus to make them well? Yes. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. They called Jesus by name. Master, have mercy. That's the cry of a sinner, my friends. That's the only thing we can plead for, is God's mercy. And they get it. Did you see how it unfolds? Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. They were the ones that were supposed to examine and make sure that either a person was still contagious or they had been cured. And on the way, they realized, oh my goodness. No, actually, oh my God. We're healed. So what are they going to do? What can we count on in this story? There's only one thing we can count on. That's the goodness and grace of God. What we learn in our scripture lesson tonight is that we can always count on Jesus. Other people might let us down, no matter how well-intentioned they may be. But Jesus will never, he cannot deny himself. He cannot be faithless, because that's contrary to his very being, which is being faithful always. So, did you catch the little nugget in there? One of the 10 came back. He was supposed to go show himself to the priest. Ah, he knows who Jesus is, the great high priest, who makes sacrifice for our sins. He comes, he's giving praise to God, he bows down reverently at the feet of Jesus, he begins to worship Jesus, and he gives thanks to God, because he recognizes that Jesus is the incarnate one, that he's more than a great physician. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. He's your Lord, he's your Master, he's your Savior. He's the faithful one. Remember. Jesus says, where are the other 9? Go in peace, your faith has saved you. 10 are healed. 1 is saved. You can count on Jesus. Will Jesus be able to count on us? That's kind of the itchy question in our lesson for tonight, isn't it? No question about God's faithfulness. The good news is that even when we are faithless, he remains faithful, because he cannot deny himself. In 1979, Bob McAllister, who worked for the governor in South Carolina, felt called by God to minister to people on death row. And so he went and met a man by the name of Rusty. Rusty was 23 years old. He was on death row. He had committed a terrible murder. He had murdered a woman, a young woman, in Myrtle Beach. Now, as you know, on death row, it takes a while for things to run their course. So Bob McAllister went there weekly to visit him. And what he saw was Rusty kind of curled up in a fetal position in the corner of his cell. And even though he would try to come in and visit with Rusty, Rusty didn't want to talk to him. He was indifferent. He was oblivious to everything happening. He didn't care. But Bob McAllister didn't give up. He was persistent. And he kept going back and going back and going back. He kept praying for Rusty. He said, you know, Jesus can set you free from your sin, from your guilt. Jesus can set you free even when you are here on death row in prison. He kept after him. He didn't give up on him. He was persistent. Bob McAllister was faithful to the calling that God had given him. And one day, the heart of Rusty was opened up and he got saved. For the next 5 years, Bob McAllister, every time he came to see Rusty, they would read scripture together, they would have Bible study together, they would pray together. And one day Rusty said, you know, I know that Jesus has forgiven me for the terrible sin, for me murdering that woman from Myrtle Beach. But I still live with the hope, the possibility that maybe someday her family and friends can forgive me too. Lo and behold, as it got close to the time of his scheduled execution, he got a letter, and it was from the brother of the Myrtle Beach woman who had been murdered by Rusty. He had come to faith in Jesus, and he wrote in the letter, I need to forgive you for what you did to my sister. I forgive you in the name of Jesus. And then he asked in the letter if he could come and see Rusty in prison. And so he did, he and his wife. And Bob McAllister said, I was there in the cell and I was watching all of this happen. And he said, I learned in that moment what true forgiveness and the grace of God is all about. When I saw these two men embrace each other. Now, it was only a few days away from his scheduled execution at 1 a.m. And when the time got short, when there was only a few hours, Bob McAllister went into Rusty's cell, and Rusty was laying on his cot, and Bob was reading of scripture, and he read to him John 14. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, Jesus declares, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when it's prepared, I'll come and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Bob McAllister is reading the word, and Rusty looks at him and he says, you know my whole life, what I've wanted? I've wanted a home. And now I'm going to finally get one by the grace of God. Well, a few hours later, Rusty was executed. But there's a tag to this story, because a woman who was assisting with the arrangements of his execution got a chance to hear Rusty's final words. You see, what happened in the cell is that Bob was reading scripture and then he noticed that Rusty had fallen asleep. And so Bob bent down and took the blanket and tucked Rusty in. And then he felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to bend down and to give him a kiss. It was the final words of Rusty to this woman who was there watching it all unfold when he looked at her and he said, isn't it a shame that a man has to wait till the last night he's here on earth to be tucked in and kissed goodnight for the very first time? You see, what Bob learned about Rusty during all those visits is that when Rusty was growing up, he grew up in a terrible home life. Rusty, when he was in junior high, was so mistreated by his family, so abused. He had two pairs of kind of torn pants and two ripped shirts. And that's what he had to wear every day to school. And you can imagine the ridicule and the torment that he endured. Now, Bob McAllister said, that doesn't excuse what Rusty did. But it might help us to understand a little bit better. Isn't it a shame that a man has to wait until his last night here on earth to be tucked in and kissed goodnight for the first time? Rusty said to Bob, John 14, that's what I've wanted my whole life, a home. And now I'm going to finally get one by the grace of God. Even in prison, one can be free by the grace of God. Remember, Paul says, don't forget. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Goodbye, my love. No one is leaving. Great is God's faithfulness for you and for me. Amen.